Good evening, everyone. Welcome to a special edition of Indie Alley, a new comic book day Wednesday edition of Indie Alley. Because we have so much wrestling to watch this weekend, so many pay-per-views, we are going to do a comic-centric episode of Indie Alley tonight.
I just picked up my poll list today, so I'm not going to do any reading until we're done with this, so because we got a lot of wrestling to feast upon.
Yes, we do. We're going to introduce a brand new show to our podcast network. We are going to be calling it Pay-Per-View Fest. We kind of mentioned last week we're going to have a special guest, so there'll be a four-man booth, so to say, and we're going to talk about the pay-per-views this week. Why do I keep saying podcast?
Best in the World in Ring of Honor, Fighter Fest from AEW, and then what is the one that New Japan is something
New
something
Japan,
showdown
something. We're in Australia. That's it.
Right.
The name of it is We're in Australia. It's the Southern Showdown in Melbourne. That's what it is. So we get a chance to see some Will Ospreay, who's made a lot of news this week.
Yeah.
But
Team Will.
Team Will. We're all Team Will on this podcast. So let's get into the comics. Like I said, we're going to focus on the comics tonight. Then we're going to give our picks for these pay-per-views. And then, you know, maybe get in a little reading before we go and fully immerse ourselves into wrestling for the weekend. All righty. Okay, comics for this week. And it was a good week. There was a lot of great books. And it was hard to whittle it down to the four we did. But I think we picked some real heavy hitters. And I think you're going to be happy with the books we picked. Number one is Farmhand Number 9. Okay, I love the solicit. Many vultures gather to dine on the corpse of the Jenkins family farm. That's it. That's the solicit. Written by Rob Gilroy. Art and cover by Rob Gilroy. Colors by Taylor Wells. Lettered by Cody Chamberlain. Image Comics is the publisher. Farmhand. We are deep into this book, Fred.
Yes, Farmhand issue number 9. If you guys don't know much about Farmhand is a community where people get body parts, attachments to things that are failing and part of them, that it's grown into the earth on the farm, hence the word Farmhand. What I like about these issues prior to this issue was that just the community that Rob Gilroy has is a... Did I say that correct?
I think so.
Gilroy has created. He's given each person a lot of backstories in each issue, and you kind of feel like every time you see a panel, you know the character and their story prior to this issue. This is still like one of my favorite books that we read, especially out of these four Image books that we do today. It's an Image heavy week. I enjoy it. This issue was a Jebediah. He was found beaten. Is that what the father's name is?
Yep.
Yeah. He was found beaten, and he's in the ICU, and he's not doing well. So the family has to deal with a lot of issues. The kids have to step up, too, and they have. And we've found a true villain in this issue who decapitates people. And she's a lot like Poison Ivy. If I do say so.
Yeah, she has those poison ivy tendencies. I wonder if she has the same motivations, but yeah.
Yeah, because like these, the people that have gotten the transplants and stuff, they can talk to other, or she can speak to them because they've had this done to them.
Yeah, they hear voices in their head, in their brain, and we think it's from her. She's speaking to them through the plants.
Yeah, it's the vibe of Farmhand. The last, like this second arc, has been more horror centric. What do you think about this book?
Yeah,
Andy?
Definitely about the horror. It kicked it up a notch. Last issue is when I said it really kicked it up. Before that, it was just kind of creepy and weird, and also kind of funny. The art was really well done, and like you said, the world was built really interesting, and I was enjoying all the characters. But last issue is really where it's kicked into it. This is a horror story now. Yeah, the fact that people get transplants. So you have a kidney that's grown on a plant, and they put the kidney in you, and then the kidney kind of take over your body, and then there's this woman who talks to the plants that can control you after that, basically. It got really weird this time, and it got violent. Jebediah is in the hospital. I just really enjoy it. Also, did you catch that thing? It was this issue, right? I had to read two issues because I was behind, but I'm pretty sure it's this issue that he does a flashback and he's talking to his mom, our main character, and his dad had thrown away his Walking Dead comic. That was so messed up. I couldn't get past that for a minute. And I was like, wow, I really do hate Jebediah now.
I think that was last
issue. Was it last issue? Yeah, I read two, so I had to – sometimes I kind of will mesh two comics together when I do that.
Yeah, what I really like about this book is like the art, because Gilroy, he kind of has like the cartoonish figures, but they're like serious issues, so it's kind of hard to take it like – it kind of makes it a fun read even though there's so much tension in this book, especially like with the family and the stuff that they're dealing either between themselves or with people in the community. And his art, just to think about, like, he's writing for Image and drawing for Image, doing all the artwork.
Yep.
This guy is putting in a lot of work because each panel has so much detail and so many things added that it's amazing to me. I did kind of laugh when they showed the character that's wearing the hat and stuff coming from, is it Monica Thorne? She talks to him and stuff, and he makes a visit to the family, because to me he kind of looks like Hillbilly from that book that we covered on Albatross, made by Albatross Funny Books. And he looks a lot like him, and I was like, wow. I was wondering if he got the okay to do this, because that's so so much like it. But not only the artwork, but the colors by Taylor Wells makes the art look so much better. Each issue is so colorful. I can't say enough about this book or any of these farmhand books. The second arc has been really good. The first one was outstanding.
Yeah, the art is unique. It's special. Chew, for anyone who may not have seen his art before, if you've read Chew, he did the art in that. Families have secrets, and that's a big thread throughout this whole series, is all these family members have these secrets, and they're slowly starting to unravel now, and we're getting a little more of what's going on and everyone who's lied to everybody. And so, yeah, I'm pretty excited. It's the end of the arc, but it's not the end of the series, right? This one coming up, I don't believe it's the series is ending. We're just going to get an arc,
right? I think it's just the end of the arc. Next month, I think it said the end of July it comes out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. For people who are not as familiar with Image will do something like that with a lot of their series. They'll put out six books, eight books, somewhere in that number, and then they take a break. They'll take a few months off. Like, we're waiting for Crowded to come back as an example. You know, the series didn't end. They finished an arc and they took a break. And that's what's going to happen with Farmhand. Weatherman just came back today, too. There's another great one that did the same thing. But, yeah, check this book out. It's a lot of fun. It's really well done. Trade time, I guess, at this far along. But yeah. Okay. Our second book is a little bit newer, and I am in love with this book. Excellence number 2. The Argus Protect the World. But not everyone is equal in their eyes. A lesson their newest recruit, Spencer Dales, learns the hard way when he crosses the Argus' unseen master, the Overseer. Written by Brandon Thomas. Art and cover, Kyrie Randolph. Colors by Emilio Lopez. Letters by Deron Bennett. Published by Image. Excellence.
Okay, this book right here, it says it in its name. It's excellent. Duh. Bottom line, and that's coming from a guy that doesn't like magic. This book has a lot of magic in it, but what I like about this book is the relationship between the father and the son in this book. There's some tension there, but I really like young Spencer Dales. He's willing to do what's right, no matter what the rules are. The book is written so well written that I forget that it has to do with magic.
Yeah.
It has a lot of vibe of just modern day street. How would you say, like, just...
It's a very urban-centric story. Yeah. That's why I think you like it, because it's not magic set in those traditional settings right. that most magic is set in.
Yeah, and the characters truly have those voices. It's so, like, down-to-earth, you know, not all zippity-dippity-doo stuff, you know? Abracadabra. Yeah. Here we go, hocus-pocus stuff. No, this is, like... This is a great book, man. I mean, the art, the writing. I blow through each issue. The first issue is tremendous. It's really good. You get the backstory. This issue, you find the more tension where Dad's not so happy with his son and stuff. And he's, you know, because it's taken Spencer to develop as a magician or whatever it may be, because he comes from a powerful family. And you deal with all that stuff. But you realize that Spencer has a lot of good qualities that... He's willing to do what's right, no matter what.
I mean, the layers in this book. So many layers. You know, top layer, yes, it's a book about magic, but it's set in an urban setting. This makes magic cool. Our lead character is cool as hell. The villain is cool as hell. The whole concept of them being hidden from the world and their responsibility of why they have magic, how they're kind of assigned to quietly oversee and protect somebody that doesn't even know they're there to oversee and protect them. Then you get into the deeper parts of the story. Like you said, there's this father-son relationship that's huge. There's this story. It's a very deep urban story. I don't know if you're reading his letters at the end of these books that Brandon Thomas is writing. And wow, they're so insightful about his approach to represent his culture and his community in a way in this story that some of that doesn't even, you don't catch it right away because it's not necessarily my culture. So I'm like, oh yeah. When he points it out to you, it's like, I see what you're doing. And it just blows me away. And then the art. This is some of the coolest looking art. Someone's going to snap him up. This guy's going to be drawing Batmans and Ironmans and Spidermans before you know it. I mean, this guy can draw. Oh my Lord, can he draw. It may be my favorite book right now, without a doubt. And that's saying a lot because I like some books. And I was like excited after I read it the other night. I just kind of like, walked around and had to tweet something and everything. It was just so, it was such a good book. Yeah.
Yeah. This book has a lot of world building. I'll go back to it again. I don't like magic. I think magic is terrible. I don't like Doctor Strange. I think he sucks.
Yeah.
Don't at me. But this is a nice twist. This is a great book. I never thought I would enjoy it, especially when I found out it had magic. But I keep buying it, and I've added it to my list because it's so good. You forget that that's what they're dealing with, because I'm entrenched in the story, the father-son relationship, the family dynamics with grandma, things like that, because that's what I'm here for.
Yeah, well, I could say that the magic is even done in a way that it's just a power. Like, right. This whole story could be done, and he could have some kind of mutant power, and the story would still fit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So the magic is not central, in my opinion.
Right. It's about the relationship.
Yeah. I mean, the magic is cool and it's part of the story, but it's not central to what the story is. So.
Right. No, I totally agree. It's a great book, and it's only two issues, and I definitely would pick it up. Or next time you make an order online or something, these are two issues you need to grab, because this is so good.
For the eye candy alone, I'm telling you, it just is amazing. These are some badass looking wizards. really cool, you know. Yeah, Doctor Strange has never looked this good. So
No.
These guys would not let Harry Potter hang around with them. So
heck no, he said Harry Potter. Yeah. Oh, he went there.
I had to. Okay, let's move on to the next book. Skyward 14. Fix the World, Part 4, The Battle for Chicago. The bug-riding farmers have descended on the city, and it's all-out war. It's up to Willa and Edison to save their home. But if they're not enough, can the city itself rise to the challenge? Written by Joe Henderson, art and cover by Lee Garbett, colorist Antonio Fabella, lettered by Simon Boland, published by Image, one of the best books of the year, Skyward.
No, you need to rephrase that. You said one of the best. It is the best. Bottom line, this book right here, Joe Henderson's writing, fantastic. Lee Garbett's art, outstanding. Antonio Fabella's colors, wow. This, like, as a team, like Simon Boland, I mean, what doesn't he letter, and it's not perfection. This is a great book right here. What I really like about this issue right here is Willa. Willa's here to save the world. Willa's a badass. She does everything. Also, what I like about this issue is Garbett's art with the big butterfly splash pages, or the splash page where Willa's jumping out of the plane with her mom.
Yeah.
Trying for safety. I mean, there's so many layers to this issue too. Like, there's so many stories going on, that, you know, the relationship between mother, daughter, the relationship between friends, not only saving the world, and then we get that last splash panel at the end.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh dang, there's still another issue to come. What's gonna happen?
It's amazing. Like you said, so many stories, and they all come together, and they come together seamlessly. You love that when you read a comic. Like, it's like, okay, you didn't just blow off and forget about this side character and its little story. They are back, and they showed up, and they factored into the ending of this book. You know, it was just so well written. This is going to be a hell of a TV show. It's going to blow people away. The art, like you said, I don't know if anyone knows. I like to color. I dabble in it. No way am I going to ever be hired by anyone, but I like to color. And one of the great things about Skyward is there's always like 5 or 6 uncolored pages of Garbett's art in there. And I'm just like, oh, I start like looking at them and staring at them. Oh, I want to color these. I want to rip these pages out of my comic book and color them. So, yeah, this is one of the ones I look forward to. Everything about it is amazing. This is going to get a award. I'm sure it is. I'd be shocked if this doesn't get an award.
The whole team, like, this is, you know, we spoke on the Street Level Floppies episodes about like teams and, you know, having fun. Like, you can tell that this team has fun. They work well with each other, just like Crowded. This is like perfection. I haven't seen like so many butterflies in this ish, or anywhere other than maybe the butterfly house at the Detroit Zoo. And this issue has them everywhere. It's great, man. It kind of, you know, when you see these people on these butterflies, I think of Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
Yeah,
but colorful. I can't say enough. If you're not reading this is 14 issues in. Issue 15 is the last one, coming out next month, I believe. You got to get this. It's outstanding. If you're not reading it, why? Why aren't you? What I want to know.
we're Image heavy this week. Image is easy to find. We're not telling you to go dig for a Black Mask book or an Action Lab book that your shop may not even carry, and you're going to have to special order. Trust me, these are on the shelf, especially this book. This is on the shelf. The trade's on the shelf.
This book was written by Joe Henderson, who's done Lucifer, the TV show. This is his first attempt at a comic book, and he's blowing people away. I hope to see more from Joe and the rest of this team.
Yeah.
It's so good.
Well, Lucifer has one more season, so he'll be a little freed up. But who knows? They might green light Skyward now, and then he'll start spending all his time working on that. So, because I think he does have a deal in place already for Skyward. I just don't know where. It has to be like a Netflix or something to do the butterflies justice.
Yeah. Also, to do Willa justice, and that's another thing to think about. Like, if you're looking for a strong female lead for a book and you have a daughter or something, I think this is something that's perfect right up that alley for that for that teenage daughter.
I would agree there. And also props on the art. Very well done on the clothing. That's something I kind of watch. Like today I picked up Piccolo's Raven because he's another one that is really on spot on with teenager clothing, and it looks very authentic. She looks good. I mean, the way she's drawn, it looks like a teenager. So well done. All right, let's move on to the next and our final book. Another mammoth book that is on people's award watch list. Gideon Falls 14, Stations of the Cross Part 3. After a near-fatal encounter, Father Burke finds himself in the village, an eerie place where the people seem to worship Norton Sinclair and leave him with more questions than answers, at least until an old, and we mean really old, doctor shows up. Written by Jeff Lemire, art and cover by Andrea Sorrento, colors by Dave Stewart, lettered by Steve Wands, a variant cover by Veronica Fish, image Gideon Falls, and I'm going to repronounce the name again, Andrea Sorrentino. Sorry about that. Boy, I butcher names.
What do you have against Italians?
I'm equal opportunity name butchering. I mean, all across the board.
Yeah. This is, okay, what issue is this again? 14? Another 14.
Yes, another 14.
This is another great book. A lot of horror aspects. Now we're getting like the religion heavy part, which Jeff Lemire likes to throw in a lot of his books, especially like Sweet Tooth. What other ones can I think of right offhand? Royal City.
Yes, I was going to say Royal City.
He likes to throw a lot of these things in there because, you know, I believe he's Catholic. That's why it's called Stations of the Cross. Mm-hmm. This issue is really good. At first, I didn't know that it was Father Burke, Jeremiah Burke, or whatever his name is. I thought it was Father Fred at first, but then I kept reading and I was like, wait, that's not him. He didn't have a mustache, things like that. But at the end, the payoff to see where he goes and when they keep calling him Bishop, I'm really interested in this. Like, this story is getting wild. Now it seems like a crazy religion thing.
Yeah, we went somewhere deep. Are they at the Vatican? Is that what we're to assume?
It looks that way, and it looks like he's putting out a hit on Father Fred.
Yeah, you know, the Holy Roller Avengers are assembling right now.
Yeah.
And they're getting ready to go to war. Yeah, this book is so cool. I mean, it's those, you know, it's creepy. There was no smiling man in this one, but it didn't matter. No. You could just feel his presence, because when I read this book now, every time I turn the page, I expect to see that scary old face of his, you know? And I was reading it at night, which is not probably the smartest thing to do is read this book at night. But so good. The art
and so is the art and the one panel that got me was where the doctor, and she was talking about the five will come soon.
Oh yeah,
and they will send them the five, the sacred number. And she said, I think it, she says the madman, the soldier, the sinner, the doctor, and the father. And the doctor and the father are right there together.
Yeah,
I'm like, oh. But also, like, the crosses everywhere, like crosses on top of crosses and stuff in the art by Sorrentino's art. And I mean, I guess if you're going to do like a Vatican feel or something, what better than to get an Italian to draw it?
Yeah. I mean, that way he draws and half the face in shadow all the time, and just, oh, yeah. It's a creepy looking book. It's beautiful and creepy at the same time. And it sets a mood for you when you're reading it. You know, you're into like this creepy world. And again, this book is just, When you think you have it figured out, you don't have it figured out.
Right. because you think you should be afraid of Sinclair, but should you be afraid of the bishop?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's what has me question. I'm like, oh, is that where he's taking this right now?
Yeah. I mean, what's the agenda? Whose agenda is the right agenda? There's a lot going on. And like I said, you think you have it figured out back at like, oh, issue 6. I know where they're going with this. No, yeah. You didn't know. You had no clue where they were going.
I wonder how many issues Jeff has planned ahead because, you know, he doesn't work. He gets a lot done and just saves it and keeps releasing. That's mm-hmm. how he's able to do so many books. I wonder how far he's going to take this arc because I know it was optioned for TV too.
This is a deep show for TV. I wonder how it'll do on TV. Or if they keep it
I could see it on like an Netflix or something.
Yeah, it would be, or an AMC somewhere. Maybe even a Showtime. Something like that where they can invest and they need some real actors that can do dialogue.
Yeah, it's crazy to think like so much stuff is coming out of comics that's put on TV and it's, you know, we have it all in the palm of our hands.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, I'm still a little butthurt about the Deadly Class news this week.
Don't get me started.
These are the kind of books I want shows made of. And don't at me that I'm anti-Marvel or anti-DC. It's just, you know, I love Batman, but I'm really not that jones to see another Batman movie. If I break it down, I'm just not. And I'm not that excited to see another Spider-Man movie next week. It's happened. I want some different stories, and these are the kind of stories I want. I want Skyward. I want Crowded. I want Gideon Falls. That's what I'm looking forward to.
Yep. Yeah. No, I just want to see creators get paid.
Yeah, that too. Yeah, unless you can guarantee that it's just going to be the Tom King deal that they get to work on the movie, then yeah. I wanted them to get paid for their work.
Yeah. Well, right. It was a pretty strong week this week, Image heavy.
Oh, yeah, and we left a few off. What was else was coming out this week? Didn't we have Prodigy? Was Prodigy this week?
I believe so, yeah. Prodigy.
Yeah, there's a few others.
Who else did we take off? We took off Lab Raiders by Black Mask.
There's a Sabrina book. There was, yeah, there was a few books that we went through, but again, we decided these books, especially with Skyward coming to an end, we needed to focus on these Farmhand coming to an end. We needed to give these books their love. It's harder to do the books that are a little farther on for new listeners, but you know, there's always trades. There's Comixology. You can go binge the whole thing.
But just don't pirate that stuff.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. No pirating.
If you're pirating, stop listening.
Go to the library. I mean, you can get probably the first trade at the library. What's the app you guys use that I don't have in Tucson that really annoys the hell out of me?
Hoopla.
Hoopla. Yep. You can download you some Hoopla and get you probably the first issue, the first trade that way. There's always ways. Comixology almost always offers the first trade for free if you're doing their $5.99 subscription, which I think you get automatically if you have Amazon Prime. You know, you just connect your Prime to it and it doesn't cost you anymore. So, yeah, I don't know. Read some comics, damn it. All right, well, that's our comic books for this week. So now it's time for the wrestling nerds. There he is. You're not wearing a Yankees hat.
Nope.
Mm-mm. Is this your rebellious Wednesday Detroit Tiger hat?
Somebody's got to wear it. I'm wearing Houston Astros because Justin Verlander plays for them.
Just had to change it up a little.
There you go. Can't do the same thing. Well, let's talk some wrestling this week. We're not going to do our usual format since we're going to talk so much wrestling on Saturday or whenever we record it. But based off of our weekend pay-per-view viewing, we're going to see some Ring of Honor. We're going to see some New Japan. We're going to see AEW back, you know. So it's pretty exciting. So we're going to just go ahead and instead of reviewing any shows because it's too early in the week, we are going to talk about the cards of the three pay-per-views and give a quick prediction of who we like and who we think is going to go over. We won't do every match. Some of these matches, I don't even know who they are. I hate to say for the Ring of Honor ones. And Joey's going to probably correct me because I'm going to butcher a bunch of names. I'm at the Ring of Honor one, the New Japan one. So let's start with Ring of Honor because Ring of Honor happens first, guys. So why don't we say we go with that one first? So on Friday night, we're going to get Ring of Honor, the best in the world. It's going to be available on Fight TV. If you're an Honor Club member, it's like $17. If you're not an Honor Club member, it's about $30 maybe. Does that sound right?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, so it's but it's a pretty stacked card. I think it would be you'd get your money's worth. Cuz we won't sell you on one if it's not going to get you your money's worth. So I would definitely look into it. There's some pretty big names. We'll go with this first match, guys. The best of three series, match number three. Everybody's favorite, especially Fred's, Jay Lethal versus Kenny King.
I'm going to go with Jay Lethal winning this. Who do you pick, Joe?
I don't know. I feel like Kenny King's going to win. Like, everybody wants Jay Lethal to win because he's always been one of the headline guys. But I feel like Kenny King's been doing a good job as a bad guy. But, like, so I think it's another win for him.
Got a quarter right here. I probably should flip it because I don't know. I'm going to go with Jay Lethal. Yeah, Jay Lethal keeps it, moves on. This silly feud.
Right. And then our fourth member that's going to be joining us for the pay-per-view show, Pay-Per-View Fest, will be Rico from Rico Reads Comics, at Rico Reads Comics. He picked Jay Lethal as well.
Yes, we're going to be joined by Rico. We should have made a big, like, special announcement. The next match. It's a six-man championship match. Belts on the line. The Villain Enterprises versus kind of a lifeblood lineup. Haskins, Williams, and PJ Black. We'll go to you first, Joey. Who do you think takes that one?
Well, I am wearing my Marty Scurll shirt underneath, so I'm going to have to go with Villain Enterprises.
Villain Enterprises.
I'm going Lifeblood.
Man, I'm going to go Villain Enterprises. I liked your prediction of why you picked Lifeblood, Fred, but I think it's too early to pull the trigger on that. I think that Skrull is not quite leaving yet. I think he's there for a little bit longer, so I think they keep the belts on them. And the fact, I think, yeah, it's going to happen is PJ is going to turn on them.
You think so?
Yeah. I think we're going to get a little swerve in that one. So.
And then Rico picks Villain Enterprise as well.
Oh, you're the only one out there on the limb. Yeah. All right. And this one, I think this is Joey's favorite coming up. The Allure versus Jenny Rose and Kelly Klein.
Yes.
It's definitely my favorite match. Looking forward to it.
Yep.
Sarcasm is strong.
Now, you never know. You might like these old 80s Aquanet girls. So who's going to win?
I don't even think it's going to be a match, really. I think that the Allure is just going to attack him. So, the Allure.
All right. Oh, and I just noticed it's going to be Angela Love and Mandy Leon that actually wrestle. Those are the
Angelina Love.
Angelina Love, okay.
Right.
Fred, what do you think?
I'm going to take Kelly and Jenny, the K&J connection.
K&J connection. I'm going to go with Allure, too. Though this could end up just being a big old DQ waste of my time. Hopefully,
I feel like I'm on the island of misfit toys over here.
You are.
Yeah, you're taking the chances. I think they're going to put these girls over. They've built them up to be such a big deal for all this time that if they don't win, it was a big old waste of time for us to have to watch them for three months on TV. So, yeah.
And then I was going to say, and Rico picks the lore as well.
Rico's playing it safe. All right. The pure scientific rules match. Jonathan Grissom versus Silas Young. I don't like Silas Young.
No.
So I'm going to pick this one first, and I'm going to say I'm going to just pick Grissom just because I don't want Silas Young to win. So there we go.
I'm going to go with Grissom, too. I'm not.
Yeah, me too. I'll take Grissom. And then Rico will take Silas.
Silas, because he's playing it safe.
Yeah.
He's probably the favorite, and it probably is going to be Silas, but I don't want to root for him, so I want to be right. I mean, I don't mind being wrong on that one. I'm sorry. All right, this other one, we don't know. There's going to be a mystery partner because Colt Cabana's hurt. So we have the Briscoes versus Nick Aldis and a mystery partner. What do you think? The other guy from NWA, the one who has the belt? I can't remember his name right now. The big guy.
Who's that?
Does James Storm have the belt? No?
Who?
I said, does James Storm have the belt?
I
think he does.
I thought Aldis had the other belt.
Okay.
But, all right. Maybe James Storm.
I haven't been watching NWA, so right. I don't know.
Yeah, but he was just on there. He fought one of the Briscoes, I thought, or he fought
somebody. Yeah, Aldis did.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
That's what's her name's husband.
Hmm. Oh yeah.
What's her name?
Mickey James.
Mickey James' husband.
James.
Nick Aldis. Or Magnus.
And everybody's like, oh, okay. Who cares?
Yeah.
Who do you, come on, Mickey James. Who do you guys got?
Attitude Era. Divas. I don't know. All right. I'm going to go with Aldis and the surprise partner. The poor Briscoes are going to get owned again on a pay-per-view, which seems to be a trend. So
I don't know. I'm thinking the Briscoes. Because, I don't know, they've been attacking them. So
I'm all about them boys. The Briscoes.
The Briscoes. Chair and all?
Yeah. Bring Enzo and Big Cass, too. They can get some.
Oh, dude. I bet they better not show up. Why'd you bring that up? Ugh.
And Rico picks the Briscoes as well.
Oh, I thought you said he picked Enzo and Cass.
All right, now finally we're getting into one that I'm excited for. Roosh versus Flip Gordon. Who you guys got?
Ooh, I want to go with Flip Gordon.
All right.
I'll take Roosh.
I'm going to take Roosh too. He's been kind of on a win streak where he's just been plowing through people. So I think he's going to get the win.
Yeah. And then Rico picks Roosh as well.
Ooh, you're on your own with Flip.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. This is the one I talked to you about, Fred, as I'm very curious to see what happens in Dalton Castle versus Dragon Lee. Because it's not going to be your typical Dragon Lee match.
Right.
We're going to have a bunch of nonsense and hijinks, and the boys are going to show up. Yeah. And I bet you they show up.
I want to go with Dragon Lee, but it might end up as a DQ from somebody might step in.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Oh, actually, Dalton Castle, because if the boys show up, then it would go to his win. And they attack him.
Yep, that makes sense. Plus, it kind of ties into that first match, or the match we just talked about a little earlier. So
Rico has picked Dalton Castle.
Mm-hmm. I think I'm going to pick Dalton Castle too, because I like the idea. It's setting up for a Dalton Castle Roosh fight.
Yeah, I'm going to take Dragon Lee because he's awesome, and I don't want to see Dalton Castle. He's like watching Shane McMahon.
Oh, not that bad.
No, he's not that bad. He's actually pretty good. he's good with his character, his gimmick, all that stuff. He's good.
He's a great
heel. Just wanted to make fun of Shane McMahon.
Gorgeous George. Yeah. But yeah, I normally I'd say Dragon Lee, but I think we're going to have some crazy Ring of Honor goofy hijinks in this one. So this is for the television championship, Bandido versus Shane Taylor.
Okay, I'll make my pick. I think Shane Taylor retains because I don't think Bandito's going to get a belt in Ring of Honor because he's like a AAA and a New Japan guy. So that's my pick. I'll say Shane Taylor, although Bandito is a badass. If you've never seen him wrestle, you need to because he's up there with Ospreay.
Okay. So, I want to go with Bandito, and he does deserve a belt in Ring of Honor because you're not really seeing him that much in the other companies at the moment. But he kind of overpowers Taylor and all of them because he is extremely strong for a little guy.
Yeah, I'm going to pick Bandito too. Alrighty then.
And then Rico takes Bandito too. That was my, I was making that noise because I thought that his pick was, his synopsis was crap. That's why I did that. We didn't need to hear all that stuff.
We just ate a little bit too much.
Just pick your picks. We didn't need to hear all that stuff.
That was you.
Nah.
I'm with him with Bandito. I think Bandito's going to do it. He's going to take the belt. He's going to be like the Gorillas of Destiny, and he's going to take the belt to Japan. And there it goes. Too bad, Ring of Honor. You don't get anything. And the last match, the World Championship match, Matt Taven versus Jeff Cobb.
I think we're all going to pick the same guy. I'm going to say my pick and Rico's pick is the same pick. We picked Jeff Cobb.
Yep. I picked Jeff Cobb, too.
Well, see, I'm going to be the contrarian and say that Matt Taven, through shenanigans and bullshit from the rest of his buddies, retains.
But did you see that he just dropped, he's on the podcast, Talk Is Jericho, which dropped today?
No, I didn't see that.
So that's why I'm leaving? No, that's why I think that Cobb is going to get the belt, because why else would he have him on there?
Well, he's going to be in the New Japan, and it could be that he's going to be in the G1. It might be about that. Who knows? But I think Taven holds on. I think they're going to lose Cobb, and I think they know they're going to lose Cobb. So they're going to build Taven up. That's just me. All right. Do you want to do New Japan next?
Yeah, that one's a little shorter.
Yeah, because we're going to skip one, two. We're going to start with match number five. If you were a fan of somebody in the earlier matches, go ahead and at Fred Reads Comics because he decided to cut this down.
Yeah, it's okay. Blocked.
Blocked. All right. So we're going to go with the first one is Rocky Romero versus El Fantasmo.
El Fantasmo.
Yeah. I pick El Fantasmo, too.
Myself, also go with El Fantasmo.
Because he's fantastico.
Yeah, I think that one's a no-brainer. So we're going to all go with that. I just hope it's a good match.
Yeah.
All right. The sixth match is for the Tag Team Championship. The Gorillas of Destiny, Tana Loa and Tama Tonga versus Mikey Nichols and Juice Robinson.
Gorillas of Destiny. I feel like, yeah.
Nichols and Juice just beat them on the last, what is it, Kinzuna or whatever that show was called.
Yeah.
So it has to stay with the Gorillas of Destiny.
It's got to stay. I think they hold on to all this stuff going into Dallas, and Dallas is where they finally take a loss.
Yeah, and you might need to get, like, Juice a better partner or somebody that's a little bigger.
Juice is in the G1, isn't he?
Yeah. Yes. That was my pick to win it.
Oh, wow. That's right. That's right. You were off your rocker that day. I remember. All right. Next we have Robbie Eagles versus this young kid who likes to talk a lot of smack on the internet.
Well, all he said was he was alive.
Rollins. Yeah.
That's it.
According to Seth Rollins, he talks a lot of smack. Yeah. But yes, Will Ospreay, one of the greatest, versus the greatest. Robbie Eagles.
I'm going to take the little guy.
The little guy?
Yeah, I'm a big fan of the little guy. The little fella. Will Ospreay, all day.
Yeah, all day.
Who was the other guy?
Robbie Eagles.
Oh, it's a good match, but I'm thinking Eagle. Yeah, Eagles.
What?
Just to make you feel
just
bad.
Just get out of here. You're off the podcast. Get the hell out of here.
Oh, my gosh.
Give me your headphones.
It's his first defense of the belt.
Give me your headphones. Oh. Get out of here. What is wrong with you?
No.
You're not eating tonight.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, you took a big risk. That's terrible. A wild pick. Yeah. No, it's Ospreay.
Oh,
there's no way they're taking
Robbie
that belt
Eagles
off him.
Is in Australia. Give him the win. Oh, there's kangaroos there, too. What the hell does that mean? God damn.
There's kangaroos in a zoo. We got kangaroos in America.
But that's called a zoo.
We got polar bears, too.
Oh, righty. Oh, man. Oh, man. Okay. Now we're on to the main event is a 60-minute special tag team match. We got Hiroshi Tanahashi and Okada versus Bad Luck Fale and Jay White. Who do you guys have?
Fale and White. It's going to be a Bullet Club win.
Terrible.
I got to agree with him.
Oh, well,
I think it's going to be
step
too
on
sweet,
that limb
too. I think it's Bullet Club
it's
all
too
the way.
Sweet.
Well, yeah, they're going to like build up Jay White so he can probably go against Okada again for the belt or something. So this is a good way, but I'm not hearing that. I'm taking Tanahashi and Okada because he's the rainmaker. He's going to make it rain.
Yeah, something's going to go wrong, and Tanahashi and Okada are going to end up fighting each other. That's what the setup is for. For a Tanahashi-Okada fight. And so the Bullet Club get the win, and those two turn on each other.
Too sweet me.
I'm all about that chaos.
Too sweet me.
Nope.
Too sweet.
No, get your hands out of my face.
All right.
Stop. You play too much.
Okay. So now we're going on to AEW, who we haven't seen since Double or Nothing. Man, are you guys excited to see some AEW?
Heck yeah, and it's free on the Bleacher Report app.
Free. Free, guys. Bleacher Report. Download the app and watch it for free.
We're not.
You can get it on your Roku, your iTV,
your iPhone.
But we're not sponsored, though, are we? We're not sponsored.
Well, we're not, we are sponsored. We are sponsored by MeUndies. Yeah. Don't you see me wearing them?
No.
Yep. We are sponsored. We're working on it. We figure we talk about these things enough. Yeah. I mean, I don't want to have to be like Jericho and have to talk about steaks all day long. Yeah. But, yeah.
Quagmire ribs.
Quagmire ribs.
We got.
All right, that's some good ish. All right, I'm trying to figure this out. Unfortunately, they don't have their own site with their lineups. AEW, you need to get on the ball and build a really cool AEW website. You're the only one that doesn't have one. So you need to build one so that I can go to it and find out this stuff fast and easily and not have to scroll through some dude's articles and pictures and everything. All right. The pre-show kicks off with a match that has been added. It's Kylie Rae versus Leva Bates, the Liberian, the new Orange Cassidy.
Orange Cassidy.
Yep, if you watch Wrestle Circus.
Put some Orange Cassidy on.
I will take...
Oh.
Who was it? Kylie Rae?
First.
Smiley Kylie. Yeah.
Yeah, I'll take her for the win. Because Leva Bates is going to come out there and kill it as whatever she dresses up as and pretends to be. But she's going to take the L.
She's going to take the L. Yep,
so
that makes sense.
So it's a fake Orange Cassidy?
We're talking AEW, not Wrestle Circus.
She dresses up like lots of stuff.
Yeah.
Like, I think she did a Rise or a Shimmer over WrestleMania weekend. She dressed up like Britney Spears.
Yeah, it was awesome.
She was doing Britney Spears stuff.
All right.
So that's her gimmick. She does all kinds of impressions.
Yeah. Oh, she was still
She's a comic book fan. She's a cosplayer.
All right. I'm going to go with Kylie Rae.
Yeah. It's Kylie. Liv is kind of like the Carmella of AEW. She's going to be there for laughs and stuff. She'll get some wins now and then, but she's there for a comedy. At least I think so. It's my opinion. All right, the next pre-show. I'm surprised this is pre-show, man. This is going to be a good match. Is SCU versus Private Party versus Best Friends. And SCU is Chris Daniels-less. They're not going to have Chris Daniels for this. They're just going to have
Scorpio Sky.
Scorpio Sky and Kazman.
What? Frankie Kazarian.
Oh, what? I don't know. I told you. Didn't you hear? You don't listen to the first part of our show, Mr. No Comics. I don't pronounce names right.
It's not his, it's his gimmick. He knows how to say them right. He just pretends not to. That's what gets people, you know, that's how we get people to add us.
That's how I get
We're trying to get interactions.
All right, Vince McMahon. We got it.
That's how I get you.
Rico has picked SCU.
Okay.
Ooh. Yep. SCU.
I'm going to go, it's probably going to be SCU, but I'm going to pick Best Friends just for the hell.
Yeah, they're, because they're going to hug it out.
Yep.
They're hugger.
But it's, you're right. It's probably SCU.
Okay, well, I'll go against the grain, and because the...
You want Best Friends?
No, because of the great vignette about Private Party and how they met each other that you can find on Going the Elite, or what was that? What channel was that on? Was it part of...
Was it on Being the Elite? I think it was the Elite. I don't know. They have three channels
I'll pick Private Party because they took the L at Wrestle Circus. Otherwise, I really think it's going to be Best Friends, but I'm just trying to be different.
yeah, that was my first time seeing Private Party on that Wrestle Circus.
Yep.
They looked pretty good. They didn't look as good as the Rascals, but they looked pretty good.
Yeah. Oh, the Rascals were awesome.
The Rascals.
Now, our other pre-show is a hardcore match with Michael Nakazawa.
Oh, bring the baby oil.
And Jay Bailey. I guess this guy is... He's like the main promoter guy that puts on the video game show that they're teaming with. And he's a wrestling fan. And I saw his little thing on the video channel is that he was supposed to wrestle last time and he hurt himself. But this time he's healthy and he's ready to wrestle. So it's going to be him against Nakazawa. Nakazawa.
Yep.
Yeah. Who's going to pick first?
Go ahead.
All right. I'm going Alex... Jabali.
Rico and I both picked Nakazawa.
I'm going to go with Nakazawa too. I don't see how
he's a professional.
He could. Yeah, but they could do a gimmicky thing so that all the video game kids can think, yay, we can win too.
Yeah. And everybody gets a trophy. Yeah.
So, you know, they'll all be there and they're here with their guy.
And then when you go to reality and then, never mind, that's something different.
Then one of them will talk smack to him,
to
the Young Bucks or something, and get popped. All right. Now we're on to the main show, which I don't understand why there's a buy-in show, a pre-show, when it's free. It really isn't a point, but okay, whatever. AEW.
Probably they get this so that way, like, the drunk fans have time to show up.
It's at a video game thing. There probably isn't... Half those people aren't even old enough to drink.
They're probably in the Starbucks line.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah, that's probably where they're going to all show up with them. They're rock stars and everything. All right. So the first one, we have a ladies match, a female match. Yuka Sakazaki versus Riho? Versus Nyla Rose.
Riho?
Yeah, Riho. There you go. I told you.
He thinks he can pronounce those names because he watches anime.
No, it's because I can read. It's
Ooh, damn!
All
right. I remember that.
All right.
When Ospreay kicks the crap out of Eagles, and I have to.
But guess what? All of a sudden your audio doesn't work for this podcast.
Forget who's the same editing. Audio.
Yeah, we just erase you.
How?
You don't. Just
all right, pick.
Who you got? This is a three-way match?
Yep.
All right. Nyla Rose? I really don't know who to pick.
But... I'm going to take Riho.
I'll take Sakazaki just to be different so everyone got picked.
Saki Sak.
Yeah, Yuka.
I can't do it.
Sorry.
All I picture is like Vietnam movies saying sucky sucky.
PG, PG.
I know, but that's, I can, you said it, not me.
Oh, that's gonna have to come out. Okay. Riho has chosen. Riho.
Oh, man. Oh, I need a few minutes to recover from that. Whew. Okay, the next match. Man, this one's loaded. Adam Page versus MJF versus Jungle Boy versus Jimmy Havoc.
Ooh.
I will pick MJF.
I knew it. You're a dynasty boy.
Yeah, I'm all about those diamonds. I will tell you who Riho has chosen as well. He picks Adam Page.
Why not? Okay. I'm going to go Hangman. We got Page.
Awesome. Page. Going Jungle Boy. It's a chance to establish Jungle Boy and nobody gets hurt. It doesn't, like, it won't damage Page and MJF. It'll be some, like, he'll pin Havoc or something. And so, okay. Yeah. Jungle Boy.
Yeah. Nobody All picked right. Havoc, though. So.
Nah, I don't like Havoc. He's not as bad as Callahan, but he's not one of my favorites.
Yeah, he's not going to spit loogies on you. Mm-mm. He just brings that staple gun.
Ooh, you think they're going to staple board Jungle Boy? Or oh, that'd be awesome if they staple MJF. I'd be okay with that. I'd kind of be okay with that.
Staple a scarf, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I like that. I like that a lot. Okay, the next match. Cody versus Darby Allin.
We saw a little bit of him WrestleMania weekend.
I don't know Darby very much, so.
Darby's like an X Game kid growing up, like skateboarder style.
Mm-hmm.
Is
he hardcore or is he
like
flippy?
He kind of reminds me of.
I want to say Seth Rollins. A little, not really a high flyer, but like can, like a little bit of Jeff Hardy. Do a little both.
Mm-hmm. I'm gonna take Darby because I don't think Cody needs to win.
Gotcha.
Right. I want to say Darby Allin because Cody's going for that tag team match right with his brother. So
I'm gonna try to think like AEW here. Wins mean something. If Cody wins, that gives him two wins. And that makes him almost like the number one contender. And I don't think they're ready for him to be the number one contender. So I'm also going to go Darby.
And then Riho has selected Cody.
Okay. You're playing it too safe, Riho. Too safe. All right. And here comes a fun one. Jon Moxley versus Joey Janela.
I'm going to say I pick Moxley.
I don't know. I think Janela.
What?
Yeah.
Crazy. No. You're crazy. Mm. He can't lose to him. It has to. If he's going to lose, he has to lose to somebody that actually can wrestle.
He'll lose to Omega. Yeah.
He's a gimmick.
He's going to hit him with a cigarette. Put him down.
Okay.
Oh boy. I'm going to go Moxley. You got to keep Moxley. This will be Moxley's first real match in AEW. You can't give him a loss on his first one, especially if you're going to have him lose to Omega or whatever they're going to do in that Omega match. He has to be undefeated going in against Omega.
And then Riho has selected Moxley as well.
Now, this one, I really have no idea. Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks versus Pentagon Jr., Phoenix, and Laredo Kid. That's the main event.
Okay, the Lucha Bros have the AAA titles back. I want to say the Elite or the Young Bucks take it this time. I think it's a little back and forth.
I'm going to go with the Luchadors.
I'm going to go with Omega. Omega can't lose again.
Oh, yeah, I forgot he's part of this.
Yep. So I'm, because of the Omega factor, I am going with Omega and the Young Bucks.
Just as long as, like, Ray Phoenix doesn't get pinned, I'm okay with it.
Do you think Laredo Kid's there to get pinned?
Probably.
Poor guy.
And then Rico has selected the Elite as well.
Ah, the damn Elite. Yeah, pretty good. Yeah. Well, that's everything. I mean, those are all the matches. Do we want to kind of touch on Circus? What was it called? Wrestle Circus? Or we just want to get out of here?
Save Wait, all our energy for the paper. I think, isn't there a Christopher Daniels match against SEMA?
SEMA?
Yeah, there is. That's not on my list here. What the hell, Wrestle Inc.? Huh. There is.
Yeah. Rico has selected Christopher Daniels.
Okay.
I will select Christopher Daniels as well.
I'm going to go with Daniels.
I'm going to go with SEMA.
I think we need more SCU wins. So that would be two for the night.
I'm going to go with SEMA. Because I don't think they're going to really build up Daniels for singles competition.
No, he's old. Right.
So, SEMA. Yep. And then he just goes back to SCU after that. So,
yeah, it's going to be a big weekend.
Right?
Oh, lots of good stuff to watch. I'm excited.
Starting Friday at 9 p.m. Eastern time.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Oh, we didn't say where you could see New Japan. You can get the app. It's $9.99 a month. And that gives you these.
New Japan World.
Right.
New Japan World. It's worth it if you like really good wrestling and great stories. And well, a chance to see the greatest wrestler in all of wrestling.
Yeah, the little fella. Little guy.
The little fella. The little guy who can tweet as good as Becky Lynch.
It's better than the WWE Network, but for the same price.
Oh, I'm going to throw this out there. What do you guys think of the fact that, again, WWE Network is trying to go up against the All Elite? I mean, against AEW. So the Evolution show is going to go against Fight for the Fallen. And NXT UK is going to go against All Out. Or is it All? Yeah, All Out.
So they're putting a United Kingdom show against the pay-per-view?
Well, the Evolution or the Evolve show,
oops, sorry,
is like older, like guys that used to wrestle there. So you're gonna get like Matt Riddle versus another former Evolve guy, which it's okay, but it's not as meaningful to me as watching like AEW where it actually means something, because this is like true competition in America for WWE, so they're gonna just outdo them. WWE's gonna do the same old stuff, uneven booking, and you know, back and forth. That I can watch that at, you know, Tuesday in the afternoon and not worry about it.
Yeah, they're gonna throw some.
And then the UK show, I like Progress Wrestling, but that day for me, it's gonna be AEW and New Japan, and I'll watch the UK show. Later in the week. Probably when Andrew's editing the podcast.
Yeah. Don't remind me.
But yeah. All right. I don't think it... I think they think that their stuff can compete, but the fans are going to go... It's kind of like you have a DVR, so yeah. Why even watch it?
I guess what you do is you'll get that person okay. I can watch it for free. I'm already paying my $9.99, or I can go out and pay some more money to watch something else. Mm-hmm. You know, like if there was nothing else on, I think the casual might be more apt to spend some money to watch something else. But if you have an option you've already paid for, I think you might stick with the option you've paid for. Some people just don't want to spend the money, or maybe they don't have the money. You know, it's just for lots of reasons. So if you've already paid your $9, because, you know, I have the, I'm not getting rid of the WWE Network as of yet. I still, you know, right. I like NXT, NXT UK. I'm excited for that NXT tournament that's where they're going to do. I'm hoping they do another Mae Young Classic. I mean, things like that. There's a lot of things to still like on the WWE Network.
And you can watch the old matches.
Yeah, exactly. You're exactly right. So there's still a lot. For my $9, $10, whatever, it's worth it. It's to, even though I don't, I'm not watching Raw and SmackDown. Mm-hmm. So,
well, they don't have that on there. So,
yep. All right. Well, that's it for this week then, I guess. We have a probably should do our business and talk about our Twitter pages and everything. We kind of always gloss over that.
Yes. Before we go, I just want to shout out the Pop Culture Cafe for kind of mentioning us and stuff. They're kind of some good fellas up in the Great White North, Canada, so to speak. They say a lot of A's nice. And stuff. They're like A-Hoser. John, I know when you're listening to this, you're probably like, fuck that dude. But I'm sorry.
Hey, they're good people. That's where Omega comes from.
They like hockey and beer and snow. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's some good guys. Thank you, John and Scott, for shouting us out and stuff. You can find me at Comics Fred on Twitter. You can find the podcast at Indy Alley. Where can they find you, Andrew?
You can find me at Real Comics, RELCOMICS. We also opened up our Street Level Floppies page finally. You may have followed us in the past for our Street Level Floppies podcast, which we're going to get rolling again to do some comic only stuff there, maybe some special shows. And we have a YouTube channel. Just search Indie Alley and it should come up.
Yeah.
Lots of places.
And then you can lots of things. Send an email at what is it? At our Street Level Floppies, it's spelled out. You spell out the level. And then Floppies is spelled FLOPPIES.
At
gmail.com.
I don't know why we did that. I think we couldn't get the other one. Or,
yeah.
I don't remember.
If you listen to us on iTunes, it's listed on there.
Yeah.
But yeah, exactly. It's spelled all out, the just long version. You can email it or you can just DM us. One of us.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely send us a shout. Talk to us on our Twitter page. We got an Instagram now, too, but nothing's on there.
Yeah, tell us you hate us.
Make fun of Joey for picking against Ospreay.
Yeah. It's okay. He's really going to eat. Don't worry. I said he wasn't going to eat, but he will. Don't call protective services on me.
And he's really going to be rooting for Ospreay. All right, well,
if he knows what's good for him.
Good night. Well, everybody, have a good night.
We out.
Peace.
Bye.